This is Dick Sedequist with my 8th Reflections and Stories Along the Way podcast. I wrote this two-part mystery, a departure from my normal nonfiction writing, a few years ago after a visit to Dudleytown. Unlike television that bombards your senses with 1,000 images a minute, the old late-night radio plays would suck you in with a single seductive mental image, which slowly evolved as the plot thickened. Think of me as your radio narrator. Hide under your covers in a darkened room, like I did as a child with my radio. This story may be fictional, except for some historical and contemporary parts, but in the telling it provides insight into how those old radio plays influenced the mind of the child and taught him to visualize and turn pictures into words. If you listen to my 7th podcast, Radio Nights, you will get the picture. My writing style is expressed in my own quote, "I paint pictures with words." Here is my tale. Imagine yourself in a scary place called Dudleytown. A Night in Dudleytown, a Scary Story, Part 1 of 2. My friend was very excited when he told me about his scheme. He had researched Dudleytown on the internet, called by many the scariest place in New England, and according to Dan Aykroyd, the most haunted place on earth. He would determine for himself if this was all hype, if there was any truth to the legend and the curse. He devised a plan to record the nocturnal goings-on in Dudleytown without exposing himself to any peril. The stories on the internet say this is a dangerous place. Being superstitious, my friend didn't want to take any chances. What he didn't understand was the power of seduction. This led to his undoing. Most folks in Western Connecticut don't believe in witchcraft, devils, ghosts, or the like. They prefer that the people with the weird theories stay away. They posted no parking signs on Dark Entry Road to discourage visitors, particularly any overnight guests. The Appalachian Trail used to go through here, but it was rerouted several years ago. Over the years, several thru-hikers on their way from Georgia to Maine reported being harassed at night. They never saw their antagonists, but reported moans and screams and rotten limbs falling on their tents. Hikers have disappeared in this area and never been found. Of course, a lot of lone hikers disappear. That's why they say, never hike alone. My friend told me that the town fathers of Cornwall finally had enough and petitioned the Appalachian Trail Conference to move their damn trail out of their town to the other side of the Housatonic River. The Mohawk Trail still passes through here over Coltsfoot Mountain, but it is little used. Things have quieted down since then, but the stories persist and the legend lives on. My friend was hooked. All this at the time sounded silly to me. I had checked out the area with my son a few years before and remembered nothing unusual about the place. We found it quiet and beautiful. My friend's recent behavior has changed all that. Dudleytown, part of Cornwall, Connecticut, was a sparsely settled colonial settlement on a high ridge. Nowadays, the area is forested, with the high trees blocking out the sun. In colonial times, Connecticut was almost completely deforested and devoted to farming. Time and changing economics have reclaimed this land, reverting to the dark and somber place it is now. The altitude and soil here are not conducive to growing crops. Too much frost and too wet. There also may be something in the soil and the water here that does kill more than plants. The legend goes that over the years, the people who live in this settlement went crazy and did all the terrible things that deranged souls do. All trace of them is gone, save for the old cellar holes and grassy paths. Rumors persist that the place is haunted and cursed. After the last strange death, no one dared to move back. That's the way the town fathers would like to have it. They hope that people will eventually forget this place. All the curious visitors will go away and the town can move forward into the 21st century. Some people won't let the legend die. My friend had a plan to find out if Dudley Town is truly haunted. Had hikers really heard screams and moans in the night? He would find out without actually being there. He would hike up Dark Entry Road to the Dudley Town site during the daytime and leave before dark. I told him the position of one of the deeper cellar holes my son and I had found. He would leave his voice recorder there, set to record any sounds that occurred during the darkest hours of the night. He would retrieve the recorder the next day. He was very excited. It seemed like a safe plan, considering his fear of spending the night in the woods alone. This is where things get wacky. I bumped into him at Walmart a month later and asked him about his scheme to record the nightly goings-on in Dudley Town. He was aloof, said he would probably get around to it the next year. His responsibilities at work had increased. He was traveling a lot for the company to some of their foreign subsidiaries and was working most Saturdays. There was a change in his enthusiasm he exuded a month ago. He was distracted by the barrage of shopping announcements coming over the loudspeaker. He checked his watch. He said he had to run. Good luck, I said to his retreating backside. Thanks, he mouthed, looking over his shoulder. That was the last time I saw him in person. Only yesterday did I get him on his cellular phone. He's changed, like he didn't hear my questions. I have an inkling of what's going on, but he's not talking. After Walmart and another month had passed, I got a panicky call from his girlfriend who was trying to get a hold of him after returning from a month in Europe. Having a key, she went to his apartment and found his bed unmade, and the food in the refrigerator turning rank. On the kitchen table was his recorder. Sometimes when he went on a trip, he would leave cute little messages on it for her. She played it and heard nothing at first. Fast forwarding, she came across some weird, bellowing, moaning sounds. What should I do? She asked. I suggested maybe she contact the police if she didn't hear from him soon. I asked her about the recording again. She said that the noises went on for about 10 minutes and then stopped. Was he kidding around, or is there something really going on here? 2 days later, she called me again and said he had called her from Mexico. He said cryptically, as he put it, I was almost killed in a hellhole, and I don't feel safe anymore. What do you mean, almost killed, she said. He was quiet for a moment, and then mumbled something about an incident in a local bar, and a guy threatening him with a knife. He had received a cut on his arm, which would be in a sling for a few more days, but he was okay. He wouldn't elaborate further, only promising to call her back when he got back from his trip. I'll be back with part two of A Night in Dudley Town after I get a drink of water. If you like, you can also pause this recording and listen to part two later. Be back in a second. I'm back with A Night in Dudley Town, A Scary Story, part two of two. We pick up our story after our protagonist's girlfriend tells me that he was almost killed in a hellhole. What is going on in Dudley Town? My son, who is familiar with the area, told me a weird story. Some of his hiking buddies had been in Cornwall and heard a tale from one of the locals about a hiker who had come down from Coltsfoot Mountain and heard terrible screams off the trail. When he followed the source, he came to an old cellar hole. A cow had apparently fallen in, lying on its side, mooing and screaming in pain. Its front leg looked broken. He was helpless to do anything but report it to the authorities. When the animal control officer arrived, they found the cow near death. They had no choice but to put it down. This is where I have to turn to guessing to explain what happened. My mind is working overtime. This is my conspiracy theory. I think my friend was there and may be in danger. There is more to Dudley Town than a legend and a fictitious curse. Someone is trying to perpetuate it. My friend probably told others about his plan. He went online and confided with someone about when and what he was going to do. He was followed that day. That night, a person or persons led a poor local cow through the woods to the old foundation. Prodding the cow, it proceeded to moo and do its thing. Its crooning captured on the voice recorder. This was a setup to convince my friend that Dudley Town was haunted. When my friend recovered his recorder the next day, he heard the serenade. Whether we recognized the sounds as bovine or interpreted them as a siren song from some lost spirit, he was hooked, and he would come back, this time in person. Sometimes after my encounter with him at Walmart, he returned to Dudleytown. He was not the only visitor that night. Someone knew he was coming. My friend waited that night alone at the bottom of the cellar hole, his hell hole. Then the bang and moaning started in. He was shaking and transfixed. He shined his flashlight up at the edge of the hole and saw, to his complete surprise, a stupid cow looking down at him, mooing her head off. He probably realized that he had been tricked and yelled out in the dark that he was no fool. Whoever was up there should get out of there. The conspirators, realizing their plan to scare him had backfired, panicked. Maybe on purpose or accidentally, they pushed the cow. Possibly Bossy, mesmerized and blinded by the flashlight, stumbled over the edge onto my friend. They didn't stick around to see what happened. Things had totally got out of hand. My friend narrowly missed being crushed to death, which is probably what his antagonist figured had happened. My friend in his hellhole with a berserk, screaming, kicking cow must have come unglued. He probably dropped his flashlight when he was gored on the arm by one of the cow's horns, extricating himself from the hole. Fighting off any attempt to scream, he cowered in the dark until first light, fearful that if he made a sound, he would be found and killed. At that point, he either went into hiding or escaped on one of his business trips. His antagonists were probably also trying to lie low. There was too much to explain. They could be accused of stealing a cow, even murder. And if they were locals, when the rumor started about the cow in the cellar hole, at least there was no mention of a body. The potential charges would now be only theft and animal cruelty. If my friend had lost his flashlight, yielding his fingerprints, then he could be charged with stealing and abusing, leading to the demise of Farmer Brown's cow. If the victim and his tormentors are hiding, then consider what the authorities are probably trying to hide. This whole incident could turn into a worldwide publicity event and hoopla about the return of the Dudleytown curse. Even worse, the incident could even stir up another mad cow frenzy and potential shutdown of the American beef industry. I think the authorities made some quick moves to find anyone locally connected with promoting the Dudleytown myth. They got to my friend and impressed on him that he should keep quiet, or face, among other things, conspiracy, animal theft, and inhumane treatment charges. There could also be potential personal and civil lawsuits. He spilled his beans and told them what he had done and who he had talked to on the internet. At least he left my name out of it, or convinced them that I played no role in his misadventure. My friend has been silenced. That's probably a good thing. I'll bet they'll close down all the hiking trails around Coltsfoot Mountain and keep everybody out. Let it die out slowly, along with the other stories about Dudleytown. Let the spirits rest in peace. I probably have too rich an imagination, but all my facts fit together. I don't think I've been contacted because that would just grow the conspiracy. Better to keep me in the dark. I'm beginning to think that there may be something to the curse. People do the craziest things in Dudleytown. Here's an epilogue to my story. As a child, the old-time radio plays were my escape from reality, from undiagnosed depression. But they also sustained me and gave me a sense of wonderment about the world and the future. They also developed in me the ability to focus on unwavering mental image, to remember, visualize, and create my life stories. As I say, I paint pictures with words. Without realizing it, after all these years, the old radio plays taught me my craft. As I write, that indelible mental image projected on the frontal lobes of my brain slowly evolves and crystallizes into a story. You will find over 100 nonfiction short stories and essays about life and many topics in my two memoirs, Hiking Out and Inside and Outside, which are available as both ebooks and paperbacks. Talk to you next time.